Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every week, we delve into the Old Testament, either via the New Testament or straight into the Old Testament, and we're looking for the very thing Jesus tells us is there and that we ought to look for. He says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me." And why is that? Because to find Christ is to find eternal life in the Old and the New Testament. Well, what about the end of the Old Testament? One of the lesser-known prophets in his day, but with one of the bigger promises, the bigger prophecies to make about the great day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4. Is Christ in the Old Testament there? Joining us to answer those questions on this Thursday afternoon, November the 14th, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's good to be here, Todd.
We've been conditioned to think of the day of the Lord, when we find it in the Old Testament, to kind of exclusively mean the last day, that eschatological final day, when all judgment day, so to speak. Is that how the Old Testament conceives of the day of the Lord?
Well, when we talk about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's always something that is going to happen. For behold, the day is coming. And it's the day when the Lord will come, and when the Lord comes, you're going to have a couple of things that will take place. It will be judgment for the unrepentant, unbelieving sinner, but it will be good news for the repentant, believing sinner who is forgiven. And so this day of the Lord is when the Lord comes to visit, and the Lord is making things right. And so he frees and delivers his people who are oppressed in this fallen creation. But when you free and deliver the people of God from oppression, then that means somebody else is going to get the smackdown. And so it means the oppressor is going to get the judgment. And so it cuts both ways throughout the Scripture.
So where is Christ? Is the, when we say the day of the Lord, Old Testament language would say the day of Yahweh, the proper name of God. Is that something different than saying the day of the Messiah of Christ?
Well, in the Old Testament, they were anticipating and they were waiting for the coming Messiah, the one who would be revealed. In a very similar way, we too are in this state where we are waiting and anticipating the coming of the Messiah, as we confess in the Creed that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And so in both time periods, you had the prophets of old, you had the apostles, and now you have pastors in our day who are proclaiming he is coming. And this is good news for the believer, but for the unbeliever, this is not good news.
Now, this passage of Malachi 4, if you would kind of take us through it line by line, beginning with this thought that hearkens to another prophet, one that kind of seems a little out of place here, where the Lord says, "I will send you Elijah." What's that all about?
Yeah, so this whole passage of Malachi here, it begins by talking about this coming of the day of the Lord. It says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble." Okay, the day that is coming shall set them ablaze, and Yahweh declares this, Yahweh of hosts, and so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. And then you have the however, the but. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." And so it talks about this coming one, the one who will come, the one who will rectify, who will make things right, and he is the one that will judge the living and the dead. And in that judgment, that's, again, good news for the believer, but bad news for the unbeliever. But before this happens, what the Lord then tags on the end of this passage is that he will send Elijah the prophet. before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of their children to their fathers. And so the Lord says he is going to act. And also understand that in the book of Malachi, the Lord is calling the priests to repentance, because the priests have grown lackadaisical, they've grown lazy in their practice and their preaching, because they thought the temple was rebuilt and the Lord will be here any minute. And it hasn't come yet. And so Malachi is calling them to repentance, and the Lord says there will be this prophet, Elijah, who will come, and he will bring the people to repentance, showing the priest in their office how they should have been preaching, and that is Christ, preaching the cross, the message of salvation, both law and gospel. And so in Malachi, it also focuses on, therefore, we should recall the Torah of Moses and what Moses had written and told us about.
So what the first thing someone might be surprised at is that this day of the Lord, if the sending of Elijah is the sign of the eminence of this and of the fact that it's near, doesn't occur in the year 2013 or past. It occurs when Jesus' ministry begins, that Elijah is John the Baptist. Should that take us aback a little bit, that the day of the Lord kind of comes before it comes?
Yeah, right. Well, this is the whole idea that we are living in the end times. I mean, this concept that, it looks like it might be the end times. Well, the end times were already when Jesus came. I mean, so you have the end times. But with this sending of Elijah the prophet specifically, he's tagging this that you should look for this. Look for this is the sign, the signal. Because Malachi will be this last prophet, and for about 400 years, there is no prophet. There is a famine of God's word. I mean, you even have this in the book of First Maccabees that relates to the idea that there was a great distress in Israel, such as had not been since the time that the prophets ceased to appear among them. And so in the book of First Maccabees, it records how the people of God were waiting for a prophet to arise, and this prophet specifically would be the Elijah prophet, which is John the Baptizer, preparing the way of the Lord. And Jesus himself, of course, is the prophet of all prophets.
So the day of the Lord has to be rethought. If we're thinking of it exclusively in Judgment Day terms, that is, last day of the universe terms, it has to be rethought with Christ as its center.
Yeah, so that when Christ comes, the judgment is actually made. That Christ, when he dies on the cross, he takes the judgment of the sins of humanity upon himself, and the wrath of God is poured out upon him. And so this is the judgment. So for the believer knows what the verdict already is, that we now stand not guilty before God because of Christ. And so we know what the verdict is because, in essence, like you're saying, I mean, the judgment, the last day, has come on the cross, and this is where the eternal kingdom is ushered in.
The themes here are of preparation, turning the hearts of the fathers to their children, hearts of the children to their fathers, making straight, preparing the way of the Lord. What does this mean? What does this Elijah do in advance of the Lord's day?
Well, he's going to do what the priest, the Levitical priest in the day of Malachi, aren't doing. That is, preaching the word. And so through that word, the Lord is going to work conversion. He is going to turn hearts. He is going to turn them to himself. What happened in the day of Malachi is these priests were defiling the name of the Lord and actually turning people away from God. And so when Elijah comes, this is how God will act instrumentally. And so you have this in the New Testament where you have the announcement of the birth of this child to Zechariah, his father. And so Zechariah just burst out into this wonderful rejoicing praise of song, if you will, where he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David," which, of course, is Christ. Christ is the horn of salvation. But when Zechariah is praising the Lord for his action to bring salvation, then he also turns and says, "And you, child," which would be the baptizer, "will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Levites weren't doing. And then specifically it says, because the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
What is that idea? With about a minute here before we take a break, get us started on the sunrise of visiting us. It's not just daybreak, is it?
Right. It's not just day. This is going back to this whole passage in Malachi, that John the Baptizer is the fulfillment of Elijah the prophet who will come, and when he comes to prepare the way of the Lord, it is the Son of Righteousness. And the Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings. And so it's this sunrise, he shall visit us from on high. And so he will bestow his light upon us as we are those who sit in darkness, the darkness of our sin, the darkness of death. It is he who enters in to take us out of that.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. On this Thursday afternoon, November the 14th, we're talking about Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're in the text of Malachi chapter 4, the first six verses, the great day of the Lord. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back another 10 minutes with him, we're going to turn to focus on that Son of Righteousness. Who is it? And what does it mean to have him rise upon us on the great day of the Lord? Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Finding Christ in the Old Testament. This one is proving a little easier than usual. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, the great day of the Lord. You started us off there before we went to the break talking about this image, the Son of Righteousness, or the image of Yahweh as the Son. Pick up where you left off.
Well, so in Malachi, it says that for those who fear his name, again, in the Old Testament, the righteous are those who have faith in the promises of this Messiah. We are righteous by faith. And so those who fear his name are those who believe, who trust in these promises of Yahweh. But specifically for them, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Now, we know from Jeremiah chapter 23 that this coming Messiah, his name will be Yahweh, our righteousness. And we also know, of course, from Isaiah 53 that he is pierced for our transgressions and that with his wounds we are healed. So we know he's the righteous one, he's our righteous one, and he's the one who heals us. And then, of course, you have in Psalm 84 that specifically says Yahweh is the Son. Okay, so you have in Psalm 84 at the end of it, for Yahweh God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he do without those who walk uprightly. O Yahweh of Sabaoth, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so, again, he's the sun, Yahweh, that's S-U-N, like a sunrise. And what does a sun do? A sun bestows light. A sun shines forth. And this is what he does with his righteousness. He takes his righteousness and he bestows this righteousness upon us. So he is the sun of righteousness. That's S-U-N. I mean, you also have this in Isaiah chapter 60, where it says, and this will take us in a different direction, back to the book of Revelation. But in Isaiah 60, it says, the sun shall no more be your light by day, nor by brightness shall the moon give you light, but Yahweh will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will be your everlasting light.
And how does that take us to the book of Revelation, as you just mentioned?
So we know from the Old Testament that you have this description of Yahweh being the light. He's the one who comes in and shines in the darkness. Of course, again, the darkness is a spiritual death. It's this spiritual sickness. It's a sin, and it's a physical death, of course. But Yahweh's the one who breaks into the light to take us out of darkness. So in the book of Revelation, we have, like, for instance, in chapter 21, it talks about the Lamb being the light. And so it says in Revelation 21, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no more night there. And so what you have in Revelation is this fulfillment of these words that are taking place in Isaiah chapter 60. And as we talked before, you have this whole imagery from Isaiah found in the book of Revelation that's all about Christ and what he has come to do.
So what we're finding here is, in fact, the appearance of Christ. And does it apply equally to his humble appearance when Elijah first appears in John the Baptist to herald the coming Messiah, his birth in Bethlehem, and to his glorious appearance in the clouds to judge the living and the dead?
Yeah, so this is the appearance of Christ who comes, and this is what Jesus will say in John's gospel, I am the light of the world. You know, those who walk in darkness now have seen the great light. And so he is the one who comes into the world that is darkened by sin. And so he's the one that is trying to take us out of the darkness that the devil has captivated us in. And so in the book of Revelation, again, it ends on this whole note that the Lamb is on the throne in his ascension, that the Lamb is going to come again. And then, of course, you have, when the Lamb comes again, the eternal kingdom where you have the final judgment and the Lamb is the light. And so you also have, like, in the last chapter of Revelation 22, where it goes on, it says, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And again, as we talked before, you have equal honor and glory given to both the Father and the Son here. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So again, in both in Revelation 21 and 22, we have that the Lamb is the light, and we have that God the Father is the light. So you have equal honor and glory given both to the Father and the Son.
So what does this mean the day of the Lord actually is? How are we to comprehend it and fully understand what it is the prophet Malachi is foretelling and seeing coming?
Well, the day of the Lord is the day in which the Lord will act. And when the Lord acts, he does two things. He will judge and punish sin, but at the same time, what he does is he is this shield and this refuge from the very sin that we have. And so the day of the Lord is when the Lord acts to bring salvation. It's the day he acts to bring this repentance of his people, to bring the people who are outside in the hinterlands in the dark into his kingdom, and it's where he acts. So it goes both ways. Again, you have the judgment on the throne later on with the sheep and the goats, but understand with the sheep and the goats, they already come to the throne with the verdict in hand. They already know. Sheep are already sheep before they get to the throne, and the goats are already goats before they get to the throne. The sheep are those who hear the shepherd, his voice, and follow. The goats are those who refuse, who resist the work of the Holy Spirit.
Is this a day, I read through this, and it sounds like for some, terrible, for you, salvation, the threat of a curse, the call of repentance. Is this day kind of the quintessential day of law and gospel?
Yes. And that's why we see this in the cross, because in the cross you see this, the combination of the law and the gospel coming together. Why was Christ crucified? Why was he the lamb that was led to the slaughter to be slain? Because of sin. So the weight of the law comes down upon him on the cross, where we see the full extent of God's wrath poured out upon him. But in the very same event, you also see the full extent of God's mercy and love and compassion atoning for our sins in that same day.
Why must we always anticipate the great day of the Lord that is yet coming in light of the day of the Lord that has come, when Yahweh appeared in human flesh in the person of Christ to save the world?
Well, when we wait in anticipation for the second coming, because he will come again to judge the living and the dead, we are called to live by faith. And as we're called to live by faith, that means that we continue to walk in his way, we continue to hear his word, the Holy Spirit continues to work in our heart. However, because we're in a fallen world, there's a very real devil that does not want this to happen and who is always trying to lead us astray, trying to lead us out of the fold and into a different land. And so this is always a message of repentance to the people of God to recall that there is judgment, that there truly is sin, and this sin must be dealt with. And either you're going to deal with it one or two ways. You're going to deal with it in your own method, or you're going to deal with it with the only way that actually works, the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And so the believers, those who hear the word, need to continue to hear this, because we always run the risk with the temptation to fall into being lazy, just like the Levitical priest in the day of Malachi. They became very sloppy in their preaching and very sloppy in their practice, and they ended up despising God's name. For God's name is kept holy among us, as we learn to pray in the Lord's Prayer, when it is taught in its purity, and we live lives according to this word.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Next week in Christ in the Old Testament, we will talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about the Book of Remembrance in Malachi chapter 3. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it was great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Mormon apologist Scott Gordon about the beliefs and the practices of Mormonism. We'll have Pastor Ted Giese review the movie Thor: The Dark World, and we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to Pastor Jacob Gilbert and to the Congregation of St. John's Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin, for joining the Issues Etc. 300, our congregational support program. They did so by putting Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget for 2014. Your congregation can do the same, $1,000 in your mission or advertising budget to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. All you need to do is ask them. We've made it easy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. There's a one-page flyer that you can download, print off. Go over it. It'll help you make your presentation to your congregation when you ask them to support Issues Etc. and become part of the Issues Etc. 300. And you can hand it out to everybody in the meeting so that they can see for themselves what it means and the benefits of being a congregation in the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you in advance for asking. It is a day that is fearful. It is a day where God's wrath will be revealed. It is a day when God's mercy shall be revealed. It's a day that cannot be trusted in or believed or hoped for. It can only be feared apart from the day when the Lord appeared and showed himself to be God and Savior of mankind. And he did it not in power or glory or blazing fire, but in the humble birth, an incarnation of God in human flesh. A life of humble obedience and the humblest of deaths on the cross for the sins of mankind, and a glorious resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.